ProPresenter system, that ecosystem is evidently in between upgrades, and nobody even told me that you have to upgrade a whole new remote. I did it, and it worked in class, but it's not working in here. So anyway, I have slides, but I don't have any way to control them. And Christy, I'm probably starting in slide 80. There's some things that related to this current teaching that I'd like to get to. So I don't have slide numbers, but it's Genesis 2:15-16 and then Isaiah 55:1-2 are where I want us to start tonight. So Genesis chapter 2 verses 15 and 16, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat.'" Now, of course, he's going to then explain to him that there's one tree that he's not to touch. But the commandment wasn't only to not touch the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the commandment was to freely eat of every other tree. We've been commanded to enjoy, come on now, we've been commanded by God to eat freely of all the abundant things that he has provided for us. The Bible says that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. He's given us richly all things to enjoy, and that it's his good pleasure. I've said this about so many different subjects that we've taught on and preached on and ministered on over the years, but it would so help us if we allowed the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God to help us. It would so benefit us if we allowed the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God to help us see things from our Father's perspective. He wants you blessed and was willing to pay dearly for an opportunity to bless you. He wants good for you. He wants you healed. He wants you enjoying and experiencing abundance. I mean, Jesus even said, "I've come to give you the life and nature of God, and I've come to give it to you abundantly, 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 abundantly." And so this fits into an ongoing teaching that we've been focused upon here on Wednesday evening. And among other things, we've talked about the difference between tending, which is God's plan for us. It was his design for us. Remember that God establishes a purpose for anything that he creates, and then he creates in light of the purpose. God never creates something and then tries to figure out a purpose for it. So he created you and me in light of a purpose that he established for us. And among other things, we see that his predetermined destiny for us was to be like Jesus is to him. Amen. This is why he created us in his image and in his likeness. So we also see that we were created to look like God looks, created in his image and his likeness, and to function the way God functions. God always functions from a position of success. He always functions from a position of victory. When he pronounced the blessings in the first covenant, he said things like, "You'll be above and not beneath. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You'll be on top and not on bottom." Amen. This is God's heart for us. This is God's desire for us. And so when we talk about how God created us to function and the purpose for which he created us to function in, we see that God designed us to function in abundance. He created us, and I've got some different ways of saying it in my notes as we work through some of these verses, but we were created for an environment of abundance. We do our best living in the midst of abundance. We were not designed for, nor did God ever intend for a single one of us to ever live and exist in lack. He never meant for us. We weren't designed. Come on now, you follow me. We weren't made for lack. We were made for abundance. We weren't made for not enough. We were made for more than enough. Because again, God exists in more than enough. He exists in abundance. And He created you and me in His image and His likeness to look the way He looks and to function the way He functions. Now, of course, sin brought a curse, and curse brought poverty. Are you following me? The curse brought poverty. The curse brought sin. The curse brought death. The curse brought sickness. I heard Brother Keith Moore saying it's so simple. He said, you get enough poverty, it'll kill you. You get enough sickness, it'll kill you. And so, but that was never God's design. Those are consequences of choices that Adam and Eve made. And of course, Jesus came as the last Adam to deliver us from that and to restore us back to the original intent, the original plan and purpose of God. And so, I know we talk about them all the time. We're going to, in the weeks to come on Wednesdays, we're going to go back and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us look at these things like we've never seen them before. But if you read the Bible, I was going to say if you read it carefully, I mean, obviously we want to read it carefully, but I mean, it's not like you have to really search and dig to find all kinds of verses in the New Testament concerning God's desire to prosper us, bless us with abundance and abundant possessions, abundant resources, abundant joy, abundant life, abundant peace, abundant wisdom, abundant health. Are you following me? So it's if you look at the scriptures and if you want to see in the scriptures the will of God for mankind the clearest, the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned, the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, and what we know heaven will one day be like. And all the stuff in between that are anomalies. It's life on a cursed planet being ruled by God's enemy. Amen. But we're here to prove the wisdom of God. Wasn't enough for Jesus to prove it. It must be proven by His body. The Bible says Jesus will reign as He is right now until all of His enemies are where? Under His feet, not under His chin. Under His feet, meaning under His body, meaning under you and me. And the last enemy that will be put under His feet is death. Death never threatened God. The only reason God ever took death seriously is because of the threat that it was to you and me. Are you following me? And so He endured death. And that song y'all been singing here of late, just mocking death. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Amen. You ought to sing that with them at the top of your lungs. That's bold, right? Because Satan has propagated so many of his lies and so many of his schemes and tactics by utilizing a fear of death in everybody and sadly still in a lot of God's people. So let's go back to it. We were designed for abundance. Before Adam sinned, he knew nothing but abundance. And I've tried to think, you know, because, and that's part of even, you know, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You realize there were certain things God never wanted us to know anything about. Certainly never experience or taste. And you know, people say, well, God just wanted us to be naive. No, He wanted us to be happy. He wanted us to look to Him and trust Him. When God said, who told you you were naked? God knew where he got the information, but he's trying to point out that now Adam is operating based upon information that didn't come from God. So when we look at all the scriptures talk about, again, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. That should be the standard. Anything less than richly all things to enjoy, right, is less than what Jesus bought and paid for every one of God's children to experience. Not in heaven one day. Right here, right now, on the earth. Again, proving the wisdom of God. Proving the love of God. Proving the kindness and the mercy and the grace of God. And that God's ways produce God's results in people's lives, even on a cursed planet ruled by God's enemy. Nothing. Right? The light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. That doesn't just mean that the devil scratched his head and couldn't figure it out. That word, that the darkness comprehended it not, literally means that the devil could not stop the light of God from shining. And he can't, unless we allow him, he can't stop it from shining in and through our lives. So the simple point, and I say simple, is that God created us for tending. And we wound up toiling because of sin. But Jesus has redeemed us from that. And in the process, he's restored us back to that position of tending. But some of the things that we talked about week before last is that tending, by its very definition, implies stewardship. And stewardship implies something to tend. And we use the example of tending a fire versus starting a fire. And when you tend to fire, you're taking care of something that's already present. And so when God put Adam in the garden, it was already full of everything that he wanted and needed. And God gave it to him freely. I've said this over and over again. I'm going to keep saying it. God never intended for you to pay your own way. He never intended for you to make your own way. He never intended for you to depend upon yourself. We were never meant, we were never designed to be our own guide. We were never designed to be our own provider. We were never designed to make our own way in life. We were created to be in oneness and fellowship with God and to be blessed by Him and provided for by Him for all of eternity. Amen. Now that doesn't mean, you know, you hear a lot of talk these days about trust fund babies who just, you know, go around the world on their yachts. And no, we're part of the family business. And we have the honor of serving our Father in His kingdom. We have the privilege of being given His kingdom and being ambassadors for His kingdom. And we have, again, at our disposal, all the resources of our Father's kingdom right here, right now. Does the Bible not say that? So do you see how God got everything ready, put Adam in that place of abundance? Then he did the same thing with you and me, but this time he put us in his kingdom. And because we're born again and new creations in Christ, he put his kingdom in us. Now, there's a couple of verses I really want to try to get to tonight, but let me just keep going with this for a minute. Brother Keith Moore talks about running barefoot through the jungle and no briars, no snakes, no, you know. And if you've ever heard him teach on those things, and it's, I guess all ministers do that, they kind of have things that they say a lot, you know. And one of the things that he says is when he talks about what heaven's going to be like, and you know that a kid can just go grab a lion by the neck and hug it, and you know, and this is what he says when he gets through that whole spiel. If you've heard him teach on that thing, he'll say this. He says, "We've never lived in a place like that. You know, but Adam did. Adam lived in a place like that until sin came. Are you following me?" So I've thought of different ways, you know, like take, for example, someone who's naturally physically born into great wealth. I mean, you know, they're, you know, son born into the family of a multi-billionaire. Well, they still can know lack, and even if they don't experience it, taste it personally, because it's everywhere in this world. So even trying to use that analogy to comprehend where Adam was, when I say Adam had no concept of lack, because there was no such thing as it. So let's go back to it. Garden of Eden before Adam's sin, earthly life and ministry of Jesus, what we know heaven will one day be like. Nobody in heaven. See, it's not even right to say nobody in heaven is going hungry. I mean, it's like going hungry. Somebody in heaven would say, are you serious? Going hungry? There's food everywhere you look. I mean, we know from both biblically and people who have been there and come back, right? There is stuff growing on trees to eat there like there's nothing even on planet Earth to come close to or compare to. And it's just right there. Just grab and eat it. I mean, just... Can you imagine somebody in heaven like, man, you know, I've got to find some way to get some more clothes. And who's providing all that? You're certainly not toiling for it, I promise you. Okay. But see, we think, well, yeah, but that's heaven one day, Pastor Mark. No. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a couple of things I've been saying a lot about here lately. One is a lot of God's people think they're on a much firmer foundation in life than they truly are. I don't want that to be us. So another thing, I don't want us to wait till we get to heaven to find out all that we have access, all that's at our disposal right now. Amen. So he had no concept of lack. And we've gone from that to a toiling based mindset driven by lack. Watch this now. That a scarcity, not enough, lack mindset and perspective on life has become so ingrained in people that it continues to dominate a lot of people who have plenty. Are you following me? In other words, we said this about toiling. We said toiling is a mindset and really has nothing to do with how much you possess or don't possess. I know some. When I say I know them personally, I've had a few meals with them, and this particular individual is, as far as people that I know personally, is the wealthiest man I know. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But he's afraid to enjoy it. In other words, it doesn't. Let me get ahead of myself and I'll come back, okay? I've shared this more than once. I'll share it again tonight. Early before in the morning, I'm in my kitchen talking to the Lord, and he asked me a question, still small voice inside, he asked me a question. I was thanking him about just his blessings, I think is kind of the context of where we were. And just out of nowhere, the Lord asked me this question. He says, how much money would you have to believe you're rich? Or how much money do you think, you know, qualifies somebody, you know, to believe that they're rich? And I was like, I kind of knew that he was not really looking for that there was something else going on here. I mean, I've walked with the Lord long enough to know that he's trying to make a point, you know. So, but I kind of went with it. I was like, well, Lord, you know, it used to be $1 million, but $1 million ain't what it used to be, you know. Ha, ha, ha. He's talking about stuff, you know. And what the Lord showed me was that believing you're rich has nothing to do with how much money you have or don't have. any more than believing you're righteous has anything to do with how good you've been or how bad you've been. Any more than believing you're healed has anything to do with whether you're feeling well or feeling good. Right? Because these things don't start in our bank account or in our symptoms or in our behavior. They start in our spirit, then take over and consume our understanding. So they come from the inside to the out, right? Thank you, Jesus. All right, there's a passage I want to get to tonight. It's Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. So the point, and I'll read this verse. If you've got it, Christy, you can put it on the screen. If you don't, it's okay. The point is that either thinking like one who toils or thinking like one who tends is not based upon how much you have or don't have. Are you following me? You can be a toiler and be a very financially, anyway, when I say wealthy, you have a lot of money, but still be like, still living like somebody in lack. All right, I'll try to work my way back to that. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, it says, ho, amen. And so the I hear, of course, is listen up, right? This is important. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, go try to find you some. Is that what he said? No, he says, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And then this next phrase, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. At least one more time for now. And let your soul, remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. And you live in a body. Now, you got to understand that you're a three-dimensional being to make any sense of what he's saying here. Because we don't often think of eating with our ears. But yet he says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Remember what Jesus said. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he's talking about hearing, carefully listening, paying very close attention, not being like that forgetful hearer that James talks about, but listening carefully, paying close attention, considering. We see many different times in the scriptures before God is going to really say something awesome and powerful. He'll begin with the word behold, which means take a long and thoughtful look. In the Old Testament, we see Selah. And again, that means pause to consider. And then even amen is a confirmation and an agreement. So be it. So he's getting our attention. Oh, hey, oh, right? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. And people think, oh, how are we going to afford this? Come without money and without price. See, one of the first thoughts produced by a toiling mindset is, How are we going to pay for that? How are we going to afford that? If you have followed Jesse Duplantis' ministry, you know one of the significant shifts in his life occurred early in his ministry when the Lord began to speak to him about some bigger things. And he kept asking the Lord, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? And he said, the Lord spoke these words to him and it changed his life forever. He said, Jesse, I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm asking you to believe me for it. See, a toiler, again, no matter how much they have, they think in terms of lack and scarcity. Because a toiling mindset will play this trick on you. Well, you've got some money now, but who knows? Who knows if you'll get any more down the road? So even if you have the money, you'll be afraid to spend the money because, again, a toiler thinks in terms of lack and scarcity and not enough. And so if you're not careful, it doesn't matter how much you have, it's never enough. Right? So then again, it's like, well, how are we going to pay for that? Someone with a tending mindset, one who tends, doesn't consider how we're going to pay for it. It's how we're going to believe God for this. Because he's given me all things richly to enjoy. Man, There's been some spiritual warfare in my life over this set of sermons because it's like, I know that I'm on the right track with this. Amen. I know what the Lord's spoken to me. Anyway, let me get back here. Praise God. So we don't often associate hearing with eating. But the Lord is saying, listen and eat. Hear what I'm saying. And now chew on this for a while. And obviously, letting our soul delight itself in abundance. Let me give you one. Ephesians 1 and 3. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That verse screams abundance. Listen to it carefully. Listen to it carefully. So we hear with the ear, right? But in this case, he's not talking about chewing it with your mouth and teeth. He's talking about meditating on it in your heart and allowing, that word let means to allow. Allow your soul to delight itself in abundance. Now again, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but you will never experience abundance in your life reality if you never learn to first allow your soul to delight itself in abundance. Because we live from the inside to the outside. External abundance, possessing abundance, begins first and foremost that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Your being, born again spirit. You be a child of God. You be a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. You be a royal priesthood. You be the heir of all things. You be an heir of God and a co-heir with Jesus. That's who you be. Can I say it the way Bill Winston says it? We own this. We own all of this. It's all ours. Oh, sweet Jesus. It's all ours. See, the devil just sits back and laughs at us because he knows it's all ours. And we're sitting here struggling, toiling, beating the bushes, trying to get ahead. The devil's just there like, man, if they only knew. And he's trying every way in the world to keep you from ever knowing. We don't often associate hearing with eating. Let means allow. Allow your soul to delight itself in abundance. What's the alternative to these instructions? What's the alternative to these commandments? In other words, what do most people do instead? Instead of allowing their soul to delight itself in abundance, most people restrict and grieve their soul with thoughts of scarcity and lack. Instead of allowing their soul to delight itself in abundance, I don't know if we'll get to it Sunday or not. I don't want to try to tackle it right now. But have you ever heard or said or heard somebody say, that's not how it works in the real world? Don't you think it's time we figured out how it works in the real world? And I've got good news for you. It's not how the world tells you it works in the real world. This is what works in the real world. The Word of God. Well, you know, I mean, all this sounds good, Pastor, but this is not how. That's toiling talking. That's toiling talking. Allow your soul to delight itself in abundance instead of restricting and grieving your soul with thoughts of scarcity and lack. We must learn. We must practice allowing our soul to delight in abundance, no matter how much or how little we actually possess. Those who toil believe they will never have enough, no matter how much they have. Those who tend believe they will always have more than enough, no matter how much they have. Now let me try to connect you with this for a moment, okay? Imagining you won $900 million in the lottery is a worldly example of allowing your soul to delight itself in abundance. Now, I can't speak for everybody, but I got a sneaking suspicion that you are like me and you've imagined what it would be like to wake up tomorrow and somebody give you a check for $983 million. And if you're not careful, because watch what your soul will do. Because again, you were hardwired for abundance. You were created for abundance. Your soul does its best work in abundance. Your soul functions best in abundance. So, and if you're not careful, watch this now. If you're not careful, man, you'd be like sitting in the living room of that new house you're going to build with that $983 million. In other words, your imagination, right? You start thinking about the cars. You start thinking about the vacation homes. You start thinking about the this and the that. And again, a lot of people, even people not necessarily godly, they're talking about people they're going to help and what they're going to do. Again, because we're hardwired to do that. Okay? Now, that's a worldly version of that. So, here's the point. Daydreaming is one thing. Dreaming about overnight wealth or this or that, that's one thing. It's a worldly example of it. Meditating on the Word of God is another. Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, in the same way that we would, I guess in a carnal or natural way, imagine what it would be like to, you know, have that kind of wealth, that kind of money, that kind of possession. But see, again, that's the world's version of this. My friend, please listen to me. Oh, God, help us. What you have right now is more than billions and billions of dollars. But for some reason, we don't want to let our soul delight itself in that.
Because that's not how it works in the real world.
Daydreaming is one thing. Meditating on the Word of God is another. Your soul functions best in abundance. Think about that for a minute. Your soul functions best in abundance. So, lack gives us a lot of opportunity for stress. Right? In other words, when we don't have enough, what we don't have, what we need, and even to some extent, what we want in life, this creates anxiety. It creates anguish. It can be mentally tormenting. It predisposes us to be critical of other people. It predisposes us to being covetous and jealous. All of these are things, evident symptoms of an unhealthy soul. Are you with me? Right? I'm trying to show you that you're. What's the point? Your soul functions best in abundance. I'm not going to go into all the details, but my truck broke down on me this week, and y'all know how much the Lord blessed me with that truck back in 2020. And man, I hardly ever get behind the wheel of it that I don't thank Him for it. It's a kind of a common problem. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit shocked at what it's going to cost to fix it. But here's the thing. The Lord has blessed Pam and I. We've got some money saved up. It's no problem. We can pay it. It's time in our lives. We just had to park it. I'm just being honest with you. Okay. And wait a while. But again, so notice, and by the way, about 6:15 in the morning, Pam was heading out. I left before her. She was coming out behind me. It was transmission. I was able to turn right and get out of traffic. And then I said, well, maybe I can turn left and then turn right again. And that's Matt and Vanessa Street. And there's a little bit of rise and had just enough left in the transmission. Got over that rise and I coasted all the way down, parked in front of their house. Now I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, baby, just take me to the foundry. I'm going to teach my class. The devil's not going to stop me preaching that class. And then I'll call Pops or somebody to come and get me. You know what I'm saying? And so I call Matt to tell him, hey, my truck's out in front of your house. Hey, come back. Handed me the keys to one of his cars. And I was 2 minutes late from a class. So notice now the point. Pam and I just went and preached in Knoxville, Tennessee in that truck. I mean, you know, if you're going to break down in front of your brother's house and he's standing out there on a cold morning barefooted, handing me the keys to a Lexus. Go teach your class. Katie, he even told me, he said, don't put gas in it. I'll keep the gas in it. I'm like, I can put some gas in it, brother. Thank you, big brother. Amen. And so now I've got the money to pay for the truck and have it fixed. And the guy was telling me, first guy I talked to, he says, man, I can't even find transmissions for those trucks. He says, probably take me 10 days or more. I called another man. He told me the same thing. He said, let me make some calls. He says, you know, a friend of mine at Dewey Barber has got one of those 8-speed transmissions, and he said he would let me have it. He said, man, those dealers, they hold on to them things because they can't get them themselves. So notice what's happening. Is it, you know, your world's coming apart, you got an expensive repair. I mean, the Lord provided me within 5 minutes another ride. I didn't miss my ministry obligation. A man here. So the point, compare that now to side of the road in Knoxville. No money to pay for have the truck fixed. So I'm not saying it hasn't like bothered me a little bit, but it really, Pam will tell you, I've been at peace about it, hadn't I, baby? What's the point? The point is your soul functions best in abundance. It's one thing to have a problem without the resources to correct it and have that same problem with the resources to correct it. And our Heavenly Father wants us to always have the resources we need to correct whatever, and not stress, not have to go sell something or go get a third job or what, you follow what I'm saying? I hope y'all are hearing this from the heart that I'm trying to give it to you. Okay. Because see, we were not created for lack. We were created in abundance and we were created for abundance. Abundance is our natural habitat. We were not designed for an environment of lack or for the stress and pressure it creates. One last verse, Psalm 37 and 4. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The world system of toiling views the process backwards. It says, obtain the desires of your heart and you will be delighted. That's an outside, inside approach. Take this verse, Psalm 37:4, and overlay it with Isaiah 55. Start with allowing your soul to delight itself in abundance. Amen. Does the Word of God not say that if we give generously, that God will cause all grace to abound towards us so that we would have the resources to give to every good work? One way to let your soul delight itself in abundance is literally think about all the different ministries. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Word of God says, not because we're hoping we win the lottery. No, because the Word of God says this is our birthright. This is our heritage. This is who we are. This is what we've been given.
That's not how it works in the real world.
Yes, it is how it works. But see, again, if instead of letting our soul delight itself in abundance based upon all that the Word of God says about who we are and who we be and what belongs to us because of who we be, if instead of that we're going to restrict our soul and grieve it with persistent thoughts of lack and not having enough and can't do that and this too, and again, that's where the devil's trying to keep us toiling, working. In the early days of our business, Pam and I looked at each other and was like, you know what? I could, at this rate, I could work the rest of my life and never get out of this hole. But here's the thing, okay? God didn't tell me to work my way out of that hole. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? He told me, not only did he tell us who to sow, what minute, Kenneth Copeland Ministries told us to start sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries and told us how much. Turned around like that. See, toiling is working your fingers to the bone. Tending is, Lord, what do we need to do here? Because if you remember, you've heard me tell the story, I would get before the Lord and I'm like, Lord, I'm doing all I know to do. And just trying to sound so pitiful, thinking I was being humble, not really how arrogant I was being. And thank God for his mercy and his patience with me. He says, son, what makes you think you know everything there is to do? I'm sitting here going, I'm doing everything. In other words, it ain't my fault this isn't working because I'm doing everything I know to do. And the Lord said, well, let me tell you what you need to do. That's tending, right? That's tending. Do you see the difference? Not working from a place of because that was one of my things. I was like, I knew to give. Pam and I had been giving. But it's like, baby, how do we pay tithes on negative? We losing money. How do you pay tithe on? It says the increase. Ain't no increase. There's just decrease. How do you pay tithe on decrease? Well, Lord, he said, this is what you need to do. And you give this much and send it here. And it, boom, turned around almost overnight. You see the difference there, right? But as long as we're like, we ain't got enough, never going to have enough, and even if we had this much, it wouldn't work. And no, that's toiling. Tending is, Lord, what do we need to do? Because you own it all. Amen. Stand with me. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to practice letting your soul delight itself in abundance. Because there's something very powerful about being able to see yourself doing it, to be able to see yourself driving whatever kind of car it is you want to drive, or living in whatever kind of home you want to live in. Remember, he told Abraham to look, and he told him, everything you can see, I'm giving to you. Amen. So you've got to be able to see it. And most people can't see beyond the lack that they've experienced in their life for generations in some cases. And so you just do this. Start letting your soul delight itself in abundance. Start meditating on what the Word of God says about all that God's done for you, all that He's given to you, all that belongs to you as a son or daughter of God. Meditate means to mutter it to yourself. Amen. And just start dreaming. Start dreaming. Have you realized that if you're not careful, the older you get, the smaller your dreams become? Start dreaming. Be like that. I think that's one of the things Jesus meant when he said you got to become like a little. Children dream big. Children don't think about, well, how are we going to pay for that? They don't fit into their imagination. They just dream big and what we're going to do. And amen. You get anything out of this? Amen. All right. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving us not just the freedom and the liberty, but you're giving us the instructions, even the commandment, that we need to let our soul delight itself in abundance. Lord, we can be so hard on ourselves. We can be so negative. Our thoughts be so limiting and restrictive when it comes to what we think is possible, what we think we can have and do and experience in this life. I know I'm late. Look, just look at me for a minute. This is another thing that Brother Duplantis said, that especially in his younger days of ministry, he would see things like a nice home, and he would say, man, you know, it'd be nice for me and my family to have a home like that. And then he said that the thought would come that he's being greedy, that's greed. And he talked about struggling with that for a long time. And finally he said, the Lord showed him, he said, Jesse, that's not greed. That's not greed. It's not like I want that man's house. It's just, man, I'd like my family to have a nice home. He said, that's me inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, trying to prompt you to believe me for these kinds of things. Are you following me? And man, that's so registered to me, because I struggle with the same. I'm just being honest with you. I'm overcoming it. But, you know, even, you know, it's like, wow, you know. Man, that's being greedy. That's being selfish. Now, there is such thing as greed and selfishness. But sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit trying to get you to stretch your faith and believe God for something more. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Because I'm going to tell you, if you learn to let your soul delight itself in abundance, you can't keep abundance out of your life reality. Amen. And so, Jesus, we pray these things in your name, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Know that you're loved. Know that Jesus is Lord. And as we love to say, good things coming. We will see you on Sunday, if not before. Praise God.